Well, since this is the 70th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz, I'll ask you this about these changes. Is this a good witch or a bad witch?
It's a good witch. It's not the best witch, I guess. There are certainly flaws with the new policy, but it's a real step forward.
Well, it requires the invoking of state secret privilege to go past a pretty big panel, including the attorney general himself or herself, as the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that, well, there's one possibility, is that they could get so backlogged with requests that the whole system could break down.
Well, delay is certainly a concern among people. I do think that the idea here is that the state secrets privilege should be invoked so infrequently that it shouldn't get backlogged. Additionally, I think raising it up to the attorney general themselves is a good indicator of the importance of making this decision and not giving it to the assistant attorney general to say that the attorney general themselves has to sign off on each and every invocation of state secrets.
In other words, Eric Holder personally won't look at every single one. Aren't there thousands of these requests a year?
The state secrets request?
Yeah.
It's the invocation is in a court situation.
Okay.
So this is when the Department of Justice is called in to defend an agency. And then the Department of Justice would go before a court and say, this is, in fact, a state secret, and we can't even disclose it to the court. It is that secret. We can't let you, the judge, see it sort of in your chambers or anything so you can confirm it's a big secret. And so it's in those cases that DOJ really comes in. Other than that, it's the agency has to do its work, and it doesn't have to go through justice yet.
And so does OMB Watch keep track of the incidences of these state secret invocations in court cases? Do we know how often it happens each year?
We do. And unfortunately, it's been significantly on the rise in the past few years. Under the Bush administration, the state secrets saw a much greater use than under pretty much any previous administration. And the real complaint was it wasn't a very narrow use of the state secrets to say this document or this report is a state secret. They basically were going into court on a regular basis and saying this entire topic is a state secret. We can't even discuss the case, any part of it. It's all state secrets, so that we request that the court just dismiss charges outright. And courts were accepting this and throwing cases out unheard.
Do you think that there's that one reason behind both the broadness of it and the fact of the court's acceptance of it could be the post 9/11 atmosphere, that maybe there were more cases where it was justified?
Absolutely. The post 9/11 environment influences, I think, both the government's frequency of use and the court's probably increasing deference to allowing a broader interpretation. However, I think a real concern is that another factor was that in our post 9/11 haste to react to the terrorist situation, mistakes were made, and that these state secrets claims were being used to cover that up, to avoid accountability for mistakes and wrong calls by our government.
And are there any particularly egregious examples that come to mind of that?
Probably the most egregious examples are the rather open secret of the rendition cases. The
mm-hmm.
rendition cases are where people get grabbed off of a plane and whisked off someplace to be interrogated. And there are clear cases where someone had the unfortunate circumstances of being named the same as a known terrorist, and they weren't this terrorist, but they were still whisked away for months at a time say that they were even tortured during these interrogations. They clearly very often lost their jobs because they just disappeared off the planet. And they come to court to say this is very unfair. I did nothing wrong, and yet I had no due process, and these cases are just being thrown out, and these people have no recourse.
We're talking with Sean Moulton. He's the Director of Federal Information Policy at OMB Watch. And I wanted to ask you about the possible opposite effect, and that is, could a lot of prosecutors say, well, you know what, I don't really want to go through this rigmarole. I'll just release the information. And is it possible that some things that really ought to be kept as state secrets could come out just because people want to avoid bureaucracy?
I don't think so. I think a lot of the initial decisions, they're being made by the agencies themselves before the consideration of the court bureaucracy and the Department of Justice. And so the initial determinations are still being made by the people who handle the information, who decide whether or not this really is a state secret important to their work. And that makes a lot of sense, because those are the people most invested with trying to make the right call. This information is critical not to get out. And you only want Department of Justice coming in and talking about whether or not it really is a state secret as a second check on the process.
And as a practical matter, do you think that where it may involve a particular agency in the court case that's not Justice Department, that is the case, the facts of the case may surround Homeland Security possibly, or who knows, EPA I can imagine in some cases, that the Justice Department would bring in those other agencies to as advice and consent and counsel on whether sensitivity of this information merits this withholding?
Well, yes. One of the policy provisions that came out yesterday was a requirement that the agency producing this claim of state secrets come up with a clear statement of evidentiary support, basically a very detailed explanation of exactly why this is to be considered state secrets, the harm, the potential harm it could cause, the importance of the information to our national security. And so they definitely get involved in the process. There's nothing that in the policy, at least, that requires a consultation, but there's nothing that excludes it. And I think that kind of an interchange would be beneficial to the Department of Justice.
And finally, is it possible that in some cases where information would be admitted into court so that both sides could see it, is it possible, do you think, that there could be redacted versions left released so that maybe the tiny part of it or whatever part of it ought to be secret within a larger context would stay secret even though the bigger context document would be released?
I think it's possible. Certainly the...
Or is it likely?
From this policy, I won't say it's likely. Part of the policy's effort is to try and narrow the use of state secrets claims so that cases can move forward. But there's no specific discussion of trying to create redacted or tailored documents that then can be released into court. It is something that in some of the legislation that has been proposed, provisions like that have been in there requiring that these other versions be produced so that they can be disclosed in some redacted form. And we'll see if this move by the administration signals Congress that it's okay to actually make some revisions. I think some of Congress thought this was a sort of taboo subject. This was totally executive power, and we shouldn't mess with it. But if the Obama administration is willing to restrict some of their own powers, then I think Congress should feel that the door is open for them as well.
So it sounds to me like this policy, which is just coming out, I guess it was established yesterday, when the news releases came out from the Justice Department, sounds like something where the procedures and practices and norms will probably take some time to develop.
Absolutely. This is a pretty big change. It's mostly internal checks and balances, as you said, a bit of bureaucratic layer being put on here. One of the pieces I'm very disappointed not to see is some sort of audit, external audit of the implementation of these new procedures, say a year in, to get some kind of outside perspective, maybe from DOJ's Inspector General office, to say they're doing a good job or it's a fine policy, but nothing has changed in terms of how we're doing things.